welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello.
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 Well, welcome to episode 4, the best of the 4 episodes.
Best of the rest.
Well, we've heard that apparently episode 2 is currently like the one that everyone, all the critics are saying, that's the Brother Streep's best work.
So now, in fact, if you haven't listened to that now, just go back and listen to it.
It's the one that we pass around at press junkets.
Should we not just copy and paste the whole of episode 2 into this episode?
Yeah.
And then just do a different top and tail? Maybe people won't know.
Yeah, well, do you think people listen through to be on this point? Or this point. I'm Dil Streep. How's it going?
I'm Simon Streep. I'm doing well.
I'm Andrew.
Nobody asked. It's mean, but it's funny mean. Andrew, our tall producer, how's your day been?
My day's been hot. It's kind of hot in Cape Town at the moment.
That's a bit selfish. I think we all experience the heat.
Well, no, you can't claim it. My day is different altitudes of heat.
Okay. Okay, so your knees are nice and cold.
Yeah. My toes are toasty.
All right. I've recently decided that I think I need to change my signature.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know.
Can I jump in on this? Because yes. Having been a band for 10 years, I've watched you sign things off and on for 10 years. And I do remember when there was a point, I don't know if it did ever change, where you literally just wrote your name.
Yeah.
But there were no squiggles, nothing fun about it, nothing that made it. Because, I mean, a signature is a weird thing anyway. But nothing that kind of made it distinct enough that anyone could just write Simon Streep and then get away with it. So are you trying to change from that, or have you changed?
Well, here's the problem, right? Is that I did start originally writing my name relatively, as you say, quite clean, quite simple, quite cartoony, actually. And then progressively, I've just messed it up completely. I've become really lazy, like to the degree of, I think it would probably look more like a signature if I just dipped my face in ink and head-butted the piece of paper that I'm writing on. Because right now, it's just illegible. It's like the same. They don't look similar. So every document I'm signing looks different to the one before it. And that kind of defeats the whole point of a signature. I'm going to get busted for forging my own signature one day because people are going to be like, sorry, Mr. Van Veek, that is not at all what...
Yeah, that says Peter Andrews.
So, and that probably has gotten to that stage where I might as well just be writing someone else's name. So I want to know, what is the protocol on this? Can you just change it? Can you just all of a sudden be like, all right, I'm now going to do just a giant X or something?
That's the original signature.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like my one, I think I pretty much just took my mom's one.
You've been signing Joy Hitchens all the
time. Well, yeah, because it was like J Hitchens, and then I just adjusted it slightly to have a D on the front. Okay. So now it's DJ Hitchens. But also, I mean, there's times when you need to have a good signature and when you can get away with a crap signature.
Like
signing for a 200 rand bill at Checkers, you know, I've already got my one hand is holding all the groceries anyway, so I'm trying to do this thing with the one hand, the elbow on the paper, and it's just a squiggle. Whereas obviously if you're signing deeds for a house, divorce papers, like these things,
you're divorcing your house,
quite important. But yeah, I don't know, can you just change it? Is there somewhere you have to go? Is it a home affairs kind of thing?
Maybe it's just one of those things, you do it enough so that the old signature looks wrong. So people are like, oh, this...
Is it maybe like when you change email? Like I remember when I changed from Hotmail to Gmail, I had to send out a big email to all my clients. Do you maybe just have to sign like a lot of things all at once so that everyone gets bombarded? This is the new signature. This is what we're going with. The old thing is out.
Or you could make it more gradual. So right now, draw your new signature and then do like a kind of 5-stage progression. So all of the ones in between. And then over the space of the next 2 years, you know, every month, you just kind of change it ever so slightly to what you want to be.
Okay. I heard that you can make your signature anything you want it to be.
Yeah.
So you actually, I could start signing documents legally as Simon Streep, but still have the surname Simon Van Veek.
I don't think anyone really looks at your signature. They just ask you, did you sign that? And you go, yes.
But I mean, on the back of a bank card, you have to sign.
Yeah.
That must be important.
But then they say, did you sign that? And you go, yes.
Yeah.
But I haven't even signed the back of my latest bank
card. What?
They gave it to me very happily without me signing it. They're like, yeah.
Yeah, but you meant to go home and sign it. You must have signed a paper when they gave it to you to say that you got it.
Yeah, I probably did. But maybe they saw that signature and were like, maybe just don't put that at the back of your card.
It's not worth selling our beautiful card.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Well, I'd like to find out specifically if you ever get turned away for signing something and them going, well, this can't be your signature.
I have had that happen once.
Really?
I think it was like last year sometime. And I was, funny enough, at a bank. There was someone did somehow pull up on their computer my original signature from like 10 years ago.
That's so awkward.
And was like, this doesn't look like what you just done. I was like, okay, cool, I'll try it again.
And they let you take out $20,000 after that. Terrible bank.
Do you have any tracing paper? And can I borrow your screen for a bit?
You were wearing black and white stripes at the time, had a big sack with an S on it.
But it's always in those situations where you're signing, you know, like on a loan or whatever. It's like a high pressure situation. That's when I'm quite happy with my signature, but it's in those situations where you just panic and the pen doesn't work properly and you draw like a heart and
totally.
It just looks terrible.
The pen not working. Why does the pen not... Why when you're writing something that you want to write, the pen doesn't work, you write on the page next to it, you can squiggle for hours, you go back to it and you can't write. It's so weird.
I just want to go back to something Andrew said. You do know that, like, you're probably the only one out of us three that has signed for a loan.
Hey.
You say it as if it's like an everyday thing. Yeah, like, you know when you're signing for a loan? No, I don't. I know when I'm signing for, like, I don't know.
Pizza.
Pizza. I can confirm I want the pizza.
I went to the beach this last week.
Wow.
The sun is coming out. It's all good.
You don't strike me as a person that normally goes to the beach.
I don't normally go to the beach. You've taken my striking perfectly.
What happened?
Somebody had a birthday.
Okay.
I was invited, went along.
All right.
Out of my comfort zone. Out of my element of inside into the outside world. It was one of those bring your own things, like drinks, eats, whatever. And I just brought like a bottle of wine and a thing, and everyone said, you can't have alcohol on a beach.
No, that's been
news
for ages.
To me.
No, it's never been.
When was the last time you've been to a beach?
In Thailand, Andrew. And in Thailand, it's encouraged. You can take a bottle of beer, a bottle of wine. I mean, it'll cost you the wine because it's very expensive there.
The fine.
No, it's genuinely everyone drinks on the beach there and has massages and lets off fireworks, and it's all encouraged.
All in one go.
That's one hell of a night.
That's a really good massage.
Whereas with me, and it's it backfired in my face anyway because... I took red wine along to what ended up being a very warm evening. And it was just the most unrefreshing. I didn't take anything else. So like we'd kicked a ball around a bit, you know, it was hot. And I thought, my thirst needs to be quenched. And got out of this like lovely warm bottle of deep red. It's like, oh, this is horrible. I just wanted a Coke.
Did you still drink it?
I did drink it.
Breaking the law.
Because I poured it. Well, yeah, because, you know, other people suddenly wanted some when the sun went down.
Okay.
When it was cold enough and appropriate to have red wine. And you had to huddle around, don't let anyone see.
It was all sneaky.
It was a bit sneaky.
I think it's because people just used to get drunk and go swimming, and that's not
terrible
good in the
plan.
Ocean.
Yeah, no, I'm well aware.
At the best of time, people are getting eaten by sharks. Now to add alcohol into the mix, it's just not good. You'd be swimming towards the sharks on purpose.
Maybe it thwarts them off. And like, we don't really like the smell of winos.
I don't know. They're attracted to blood, and blood's red. Red wine's red. So,
do you think it's the color?
I think it's definitely the color.
Okay, like a bull.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like a bull shark. It all comes full circle eventually.
It does indeed.
Well, I have a weird story. Last weekend, the story doesn't have an ending. I'm just warning you and the listeners.
Let's already
what do you
talk
mean
about
the story
that.
Doesn't have an ending.
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't written this. This is a real thing.
Yeah, this happened to you. So
it must have ended.
I mean, it either didn't end or it doesn't need an ending because you're just living life.
It just kind of petered out. But anyway, so here's the story.
Okay.
So we were going
from
to
A to Z.
We were going to McGregor, which is a place kind of in the Karoo.
Okay, who's
Karoo.
We?
It was me and Claire's parents.
Okay, all right.
So we stopped off, this is Friday night when we were driving there, we stopped off at a petrol station to take a break.
Okay.
And I went to the bathroom.
Got it.
And so I went up to the corner urinal. Because,
oh, you're one of those.
Because there was nobody there. And, you know, there were people in the bathroom and they were milling around.
What?
And...
what do you mean they're milling around?
Just, you know, I don't know, washing their hands or whatever.
Okay.
And there was no one around me. So anyway, go to the urinal. Immediately, someone joins me and stands right next to me. Now, I'm uncomfortable.
Aiming into your urinal? Or
No. at the urinal next to me.
Okay.
But as we commence with the situation, he sort of leans over and says, "How are you?"
Oh, okay. The talker.
Yeah, big talker, this guy. So I say, "I'm fine, thanks. How are you?" I'm polite. Yeah. I have to respond. So he goes, "Fine. How's your health?"
Sure.
Which I thought was a strange follow-up question.
That is strange. Do you think he was like looking at the color of your urine and then ascertaining you had some sort of illness?
Yeah, maybe.
I do take vitamins. It's a bright neon.
Okay.
and I said, "My health's fine, thank you. How's yours?" Because I'm now in this rabbit hole.
You're not bringing much to this conversation.
Bringing anything.
You gotta duplicate and elaborate at some point.
Okay, so here we go. So then he says, "I'm a 42-year-old doctor."
Okay. No. I knew he was a doctor. Okay.
Okay. So,
I wonder why his age is relevant at this point in time.
So did I. So did I, Simon. At this point, I would just like to interject and say that he has been sort of gesticulating very familiarly with his hand sort of reaching across what I would call a secure boundary of the urinal.
Okay.
And that's put me slightly on edge.
Okay.
Anyway, he says...
Are you able to continue
Fortunately, yes, I was. Okay. So he says, "I'm a 42-year-old doctor." Now, up until this point, I haven't actually looked at the guy. All right.
Because, but this is peak drinking.
Turn over to the right. And he's like clearly 17.
Cool. So I looked to the left, and he's clearly like a 25-year-old guy.
All really? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The story gets weirder and weirder.
Okay. So weird. Okay. So I say, okay, because I don't want to be rude. And he's just told me he's a 42-year-old doctor, and I respect my elders.
Yeah.
Then he says, he can see I'm a little bit skeptical, so I think he's trying to back up his claim. Yeah. He says, I live in Australia. Now, we're at a petrol station in the middle of the Karoo.
He's really lost.
And so now I'm starting to be a little bit skeptical.
Okay.
It's and a really long wee.
It does seem to be a particularly long...
Yeah.
At this stage, has he started weeing? Was he just having a conversation?
So now at this point in the conversation, you know, we both kind of finish and we start moving over to wash our hands.
Right. Okay.
Fortunately, now we're in sync. And and then I plucked up the courage...
In the sync.
I plucked up the courage to say, "There's no, dude, you're not 42. I didn't want to say whether he's a doctor or not, because they get personal about that.
Sure.
He says, no, I am. So I said, "No, at the maximum, you're like 30. And he's like, no. I said, "No, you're probably like 25. Uh-huh. And this, unfortunately, is where the story kind of peters out. But as I was washing my hands, and his final thing that he said to me with this huge cluster of lies that he's just been telling me for absolutely no reason that I can fathom, as I was drying my hands and he walked past me to leave the bathroom, he just said, "Oh, and I'm married." And then he left.
Are you sure that you walked into a bathroom and not the red room from the Twin Peaks series, where everything is a weird dream and makes no sense?
Well, maybe.
I have a sneaky suspicion that Oak was a spy. He was just kind of you when he goes, "I'm a 42-year-old doctor."
I was supposed to say,
"You meant to go, the lavender is particularly smelly tonight," or something. And he was going to pass you some secret documents.
That's amazing. Yeah, you should have followed him. He goes to the next guy. "I'm a 42-year-old doctor." That is bizarre.
So strange.
Maybe he's the guy in those ads that sometimes pop up on Facebook that have like a very young person who goes, "Doctors hate this guy. He's discovered the fountain of youth," or whatever, and you're meant to click on it and give them your money.
Well, normally that kind of situation is, you know, I tend to avoid them and try and leave as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
But he was actually just so friendly about it. And when I realized he was just telling me complete lies for no reason. He wasn't trying to like steal my wallet. He wasn't trying to, you know, con me. It was just lies, just barefaced lies. You know, I was just enjoying it.
That's so strange. Did you have a smirk or a smile on your face when you accused him?
Absolutely. I said, "There's no way."
Did you guys shake hands afterwards?
No. No, he didn't. He left.
It's difficult to shake hands in the bathroom. Even if you just washed hands, you do feel a bit like, oh.
It's almost worse with washed hands.
Yeah, it is.
It's like you have to tell, I did wash my hands. You know.
But I've had that happen to me before, not where someone's just sprouted a sea of lies while I'm urinating. But I've had it before where I've kind of, I'm quite a shy weir. I avoid the urinal at all costs. I try actually just.
You're a stall man.
I try to go to the stall where possible because I don't like the concept of the urinal.
But that's because you sit down to wee.
I've improved. I now stand a bit more to wee. I mix it up from now, time to time. Sometimes I stand, sometimes
Dylan,
I sit.
As a tall man, sometimes the height is just too much.
Oh, my word, I'm in the minority. How is this possible? What a turn of events.
The thing is, what's nice about sitting and weeing is that you have the option to go past a wee if you want
continue.
To. And you also have the option of reading a bit, like a little cheeky whatever.
What?
Like a cheeky whatever on your cell phone.
I don't know what whatever it is. You can't even repeat and say whatever again.
A tweet.
No, I don't know. I like to check out what's going on Facebook, what's the TV news, that kind of stuff.
Spaceman Gym or whatever it's called.
Yeah. What? Spaceman Gym?
What's that game you play?
Oh, Jetpack Joyride.
Whatever.
It's lots of fun. Anyway, so I do generally try avoid the urinals. And I'm getting better at it. I'm getting I need to overcome this.
Getting better at avoiding the urinals.
I'm getting better at actually being I think to function as a normal human being, you probably have to embrace the urinal. I mean, not embrace it. don't hug it or lick it or anything weird like that.
I've got a story about that, actually.
But definitely, try be a kind of person that if the stalls are busy, you can still go pee in the urinal. So I've been trying to do that. And one of these times I was like, I definitely need to just, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go wee at a urinal like a normal human being. Also, this guy, and he had literally anywhere, the bathroom was very empty. He could choose any urinal. There were about eight of them. And I went kind of almost far left, kind of in the corner. And he chose right next to me and then started talking to me as well. And that's just, don't do that. If you're a urinal person, that's fine. I respect that you like that. But just keep conversation to yourself. It's not a freaking haircut.
I really don't mind the conversation at the urinal.
Oh, what? Are you?
I don't start them up.
Okay, all right.
But if one happens, I'll go with it.
All right, what are people generally saying to you in these conversations?
Well, I mean, the few times I can think of offhand is if you're out at a bar or something. So it's usually there's been a few beers or maybe there's some sport on. I'm painting this picture I'm this macho sport watching.
I've just watched the game and I go.
After just telling us you haven't been to a beach in the evening for 10 years.
So they come over and they just go, it takes a while to get, a classic is, good thing there's no queue here or whatever, because you've just walked past the long queue for the ladies.
That's a classic.
And I'll go, I'm fine with it.
It's funny how people that watch sport assume that everyone else watches sport.
Yeah.
Often, you end up in conversations. The other day, I was buying beer from Pick and Pay. And
that's your first mistake. Beer plus sport.
And this guy in the queue just started talking to me about, it was around about the end of the World Cup time. We had lost, but it was a weekend where I think the semi-final and final were going to be played. No, the final and the follow-up that no one cares about final, that one.
Okay.
So, and we were talking about, and he was giving me his big reasons why he thought South Africa didn't do well. And I'm like, is he going to realize? I don't know exactly what he's talking about.
It's
I'm just lucky enough that I know he's talking about rugby. I've got the sport down. But at some stage he's like, because he's looking for affirmation, the coach did this. And I'm like, did he? I don't know.
But now, what is your demeanor in that situation? Because you could come across as quite rude if you wanted somebody to stop talking to you about that. Or do you kind of humor them and just in your head you're going, when will this end?
What I've tried to do, and I'm definitely going to be found out at some stage, but I try to just say what I know. So
You're contributing.
I try to contribute because I've got friends that watch sport and you pick up things.
Yeah, by osmosis.
You hear things like, you know, the coach normally takes a good 3 years to warm up or something like that. And you're like, yeah, I mean, he's just been made coach, give him some time or something. And the guy's probably going, like,
I want to see one of these conversations. This sounds like so much fun.
And it's great. Is now I follow the Premier League just because I like it when Chelsea loses and I like it when Man City win.
Okay.
So I try to follow just so I know what those teams are doing, just so I have enough in my arsenal.
That's clear.
I appreciated that.
To be able to rip off my friend Nick, who also listens to this podcast whenever his team loses. So I kind of now follow that a bit. And so it's great actually being able to contribute to those conversations. But also, once again, there's like a level of like, I pretty much know where the teams are.
Yeah.
And know like literally maybe two facts about my team, one fact about Chelsea. And so it's really just trying to edge those facts into conversations. So people are like, oh, okay.
And then
cool.
Run to the bathroom when you've run out of facts. Don't engage with me. Just to go very far back to the fact that I said I've got a story about embracing a urinal.
Yes.
This is from when I was about 7 or 6, maybe. Apparently.
Don't tell me you ate the mints.
No. Is that mints with a T or C? Gross.
That should be like a public, I mean, a practical joke that people do. It's just put some mints into your urinal and see what happens.
And I went to the Spur with my family, and apparently this is all hearsay because I don't actually remember. It's probably earlier than 6 or 7 then. But apparently because I couldn't reach up to the urinal, even those little low ones for... children that make me feel like tall guys like you when I go to them, but when I was that small, obviously not. And apparently I reached up and held the porcelain and kind of pulled myself up to use it, and then came out again and told my folks, and they were like, that's disgusting, never ever touch that ever again. I never did.
When you were a kid, did you ever get into the wrong car?
I don't think I got into the wrong car, but I definitely have a memory of my face almost exploding from embarrassment by grabbing the hand at the till of someone I thought was my mom, and she'd actually like gone to another shop.
That's great. I definitely got into the wrong car.
Did you get into a wrong car?
Yeah.
Because you were coaxed in with little sweets? Or?
No. It was a weird situation. Because I'm not the most observant person at the best of times. So it probably was even a different car to what my folks drove at the time.
Yeah, it's a Jeep.
Different color. 4x4 or something. But I definitely remember like getting in really confidently, like about to begin a sentence. Like, where's it? Oh, okay. All right. You're not the faces I'm familiar with.
Hold on. Stopping you there. You were saying, what's up? That was only popular about 6 years ago.
when was this? Said, I'm a trendsetter.
When I stopped in the parking lot and didn't come into the shops because it was boring, I would get into the front and pretend to drive. Did you guys do that?
I think I've done that. I was always nervous though in the front seat, and I still to this day don't really know why my mom was like this, but she used to have this thing about us not bumping the rear view mirror. And so I always assumed
yeah.
So when we played in the front seat and did what you were talking about, like pretending to drive, yeah. I always assumed that if I bumped the rearview mirror, it was like really difficult to reposition. That was my theory. I was like, that's the only reason why my mom can really hate it when this happens is because this thing must just be like difficult to put in place.
Yeah.
And so we used to have to play very carefully as not to bump the rearview mirror. But then when I became a driver, like only literally like when I was like 18 or whatever, and I started driving myself, I realized... this is really simple. This is not rocket science. Like, I understand maybe it's frustrating if you think it's set to you and then you look like when you're in traffic and driving, you look behind you and you can't see. But even then, that's like a 2 second adjustment with your left hand and you're raring to go again.
Did you and your sister like dare each other like when you were 18 and 20? Like, okay, one of us has to do this now. We've avoided it for our whole lives.
Yeah, you. Okay, short story.
Like
you're
going into a haunted house.
Garage of Groundbreaking Inventions.
Welcome to the Garage of Groundbreaking Inventions.
Ooh.
This is a round in which we will pitch some groundbreaking inventions to make something a little bit better. I don't know if it has to be a bit better every week, or I guess if it was going to be worse, it could go into the warehouse of rejected ideas. Yeah. They're also similar. So this is to make things better. And this week, I've decided that we need to make air travel better. Because okay. I think there's probably some air travel coming up. It's the festive season. I'm flying somewhere. I think you're flying somewhere.
That's true.
Andrew's...
No, I'm not going anywhere.
In the clouds already.
Yeah, thanks.
Do you have to duck, like, when planes are taking off and that kind of stuff?
I'm not allowed near the airport.
Maybe you could just hold the wind sock. Or just one of your socks. You know, because they'd be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's giant.
So I think to make air travel better, you got to look at what makes air travel bad in the first place.
Okay.
Good point.
The rubbish food? Is it the fact that the headphones don't stay on your head and they're kind of tinny and break if you turn the volume up half?
And they hurt your ears.
Is it the fact that sometimes you get deep vein thrombosis from being up in the air? No, it's none of those things. It's the fact that going to the toilet, yes, we're back on toilets.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're sitting anywhere but the aisle, is a huge effort.
Oh no,
and you feel terrible.
I just want to say this one. I don't like where this is going.
You feel terrible if you're the guy waking up somebody to move, or like if it's sometimes you go and then the cart is like halfway up the aisle, yeah. And they just won't move. They won't go back. They can't go back. It's not their fault that you need to urinate. No. So why should they have to?
Well, it is their fault. They've been plying you with drinks.
Yeah, but I've paid all that money.
That's true.
So I've decided that the best way to get around this is to have toilets built into the seats.
Okay. Well,
right.
This is interesting because I think we might need
shattering invention.
I think we might need that nose rose thing that Andrew invented a couple of weeks ago if you're going to have this. So when you say built into the seats.
Yeah. You know, like a toilet seat?
Yeah.
It's like that.
But okay. So are you...
There might be, you know, a zippable... thing that it's not constantly open, let's say.
Okay, all right. But are your pants constantly off then?
What?
Well, the thing is, you've described a situation where you're going to obviously drop your pants at some stage, right in public.
But in this world, this exists on all planes.
Yeah.
So everyone knows. It's not like I'm the only person with this seat and I start dropping trowel and everyone goes, what on earth is this?
But are you going to...
They give you little blankets, Simon. You can cover up.
Okay, all right. Well, I just want to make sure that this is at least happening in a world where we're still covering up.
Okay, so you cover up. Maybe, you know, the fact that there is this seat with a thing also means you could maybe pull out almost like one of those spring-loaded tents that you can put on the beach that just cover, like, okay. your head. You know, those tiny shade tent things.
All right, so
maybe you can kind of pull something over yourself and clips in on the other side of the seat.
Okay, but still covers you, not privacy. Just your head.
Right.
Because you're describing a situation... I thought you're describing a situation where, because it's an embarrassing thing, you're just going to cover your head so no one can see it's you.
Like the ostrich.
But you're still going to...
This isn't happening. I can't see it. Anyway, so you can do your business, and the flushing is unbelievable on an aeroplane. I don't know if you've been in a bathroom in an aeroplane recently, but you press that button, and it's like scarily... good suction. So you're not going to worry about, you know, things lingering in your area.
But I mean, that process is going to wake up the guy next to you anyway. So, you know, you could just squeeze.
This is a prototype. I'm happy for feedback and suggestions.
It does give a whole new meaning to going business class.
Yeah, so you've got basically it just means that you can stay in your seat.
So the thing is, right, I like the idea for Wheeze. I think this will work for Wheeze because Wheeze are relatively gentle and silent. It's like you might even help the guy asleep next to you. You might think,
bubbling brook.
Nature sounds.
The problem is that, and there's no real way to say this without getting too, you know, crude and scatological, but the number two is like often, it's a surprising... affair because you don't.
This is getting too crude.
No, but in the nicest way possible, you're never too sure A, what's going to be happening, and B, MB, what's
what do you mean what's going to be happening? You've got a vague idea, surely, if that's the plan.
You don't know.
You don't know how many wipes, and that's what you're trying to say.
No, that's not what I'm actually trying to say. You don't know length or time often, and you definitely can't control always
time. This is a long haul flight. Yeah, I think you've got the time. You've got 13 hours a stopover. You should be okay for time.
But yeah, unless you got gout or something. But I think with it's more the. Okay, I'll say it. I just come out with it. It's the audio that goes with the number two.
Well, I mentioned it before.
You
people
can't control,
wear headphones.
You can't control that.
People wear headphones on planes.
But not everyone.
They're either asleep, they've got earplugs in, or they're wearing headphones. Who's sitting on a plane with none of those three?
But I'm worried that they're going to start implementing these, because I don't go overseas a lot, so I don't really care what they do on those flights.
Right.
Whatever. Especially, like, I think a lot of the Asian airlines will probably welcome this kind of thing.
What the hell does that mean?
I've seen some of the toilets in some of these, places
in
Asia.
Hole in the ground.
Yeah, they're happy. They're
hole
very...
in the seat is like a step up.
Yeah. They're like, oh my gosh, this is great. Suction. they're going to be holding it in just so they can go on the airplanes.
I am thinking of this specifically for long haul flights.
Cool, because I'm going to Durban, and I don't want
you can hold it in.
I don't want my wife just to be dropping a number two next to me right. during the flight.
Okay.
I'm just saying, and she's family, so I'm definitely not going to want like.
I mean, the pilots must have something like this. They're not leaving. They're not walking down the aisle.
I'm pretty sure they're just not taking a dump next to each other though. I'm fairly confident.
For long haul flights.
Okay, well, I'm quite certain that this is not a groundbreaking invention, and it is
it's
more of a
groundbreaking. It's
groundbreaking.
Not going to be invented.
Yeah. Okay, I've come up with something that I think really is going to help.
Okay.
I quite dislike in planes the fact that there doesn't seem to be enough space for the luggage, but I also don't know if there's a way to get around that. It seems like unless you're first in the queue, first in the plane, your luggage might not end up over your actual head. It might end up somewhere over someone else's head, which is they should be calling it over someone else's head stowaways, because it's hardly ever over yours anyway. But so I don't see that changing, but I do think what you could do is have some sort of cable attached to the luggage, which will you can leave it where your head is, but you can then like put it elsewhere where the rest of the luggage is going to be. Does that make sense?
What it conjures up for me is a fishing image where two people have crossed their lines over each other and it's all snangled.
Snangled, that's such a cute word.
Groundbreakingly invented a new word.
I'll accept snangle as
snangled
a word.
Snangled is a word now.
I'll gladly live in a world where snangled exists, but where the pooing chair doesn't.
The pooing chair. It would have a sexier name than that, I'm sure. And their lines get caught and it's like an hour to untangle. That's two lines. You're gonna have everyone on the plane have snangled lines.
Here's the thing though. So I recently set up Christmas decorations in my lounge, and then there was some tinsel on the floor. I had to get it up, and I had to use the tinsel laptop, and I had to use my vacuum cleaner. And the best thing about the vacuum cleaner is it has that thing you push that just makes the cord go.
Yeah, that's terrifying. It's so much faster than you think it's going to be.
So if they just had that on the luggage, you press your button and your luggage is right above you overhead. It's sort of.
Hold on. So now, okay, so when you. To use your analogy, when you press that thing and the plug comes flying through the room and you think, I better not be in the way of that because it'll take off a limb. Now you want people's luggage, which can weigh up to 7 kilograms.
This is all happening.
Flying through the cabin towards their heads.
How are we living in a world where somehow, in your mind, your idea of people just defecating next to you on a plane is better than flying
it,
luggage?
It is. Yeah. It is better.
But this is all happening above. It's overhead.
I can only see snangle problems.
Okay, all right. Well,
Andrew.
Fair enough.
I have lots of suggestions for air travel.
What's your best
because
one?
Because being a tall person, sometimes called the tallest, you know, it's just loads of issues. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, you know, I never have enough space in the seat.
Sure. Right?
So my solution is just make all of the seats smaller. Okay?
Hold on.
Sorry, what?
Yeah. Make everyone's seat smaller because... what you'll find then is that the normal people, such as yourselves, mm-hmm. will start to feel cramped. I mean, I'll be feeling cramped anyway.
We do feel cramped.
Yeah. No, but we'll feel more cramped. Okay. And then everyone will campaign for the tall people as well to make the seats a lot bigger.
Wait, this really is convoluted. Giant step back to go one marginal step forward.
Yeah. Oh, a big step forward.
Well, you're wanting...
It was a normal step for you.
Yeah.
That is a
ridiculous... That's just my first idea. Okay,
all right.
I've got more ideas, all right? We're going back to the toilets.
So we're poo-pooing that one.
Yeah. Why can't we have urinals? Hey, on the plane.
This is something.
I don't understand why we can't do that, because often there's a queue, and if you could have like four urinals in the space of one of those little toilets.
Do you really want four men standing next to each other having a pee and then turbulence at the same time?
No, but that's the thing. Yeah. Is that
you need a seatbelt system.
You're not supposed to be up. Okay, that brings me to turbulence.
You're definitely not meant to be up.
Okay. Turbulence, right.
It reminds me of a festival, like back to back in a urinal. Awful.
Yeah, but, you know, you'll cope. Right, turbulence.
All right.
The turbulence simulator. Turbulence can be quite scary.
Yeah.
From time to time. Okay. And
I like
so
this. I think I know where you're going with this, and I approve.
Okay, so you've got that little screen in front of you. All right.
Yeah.
When there's turbulence, the screen turns into one of those kind of, you know, those like 3D simulator rides that you can go and sit in, and the seats like jump around and left and up and down and forward.
Yeah.
And it kind of anticipates what the turbulence is going to do. And then you can be on like a kind of a ride through a canyon or a cave following the turbulence as it goes.
This I like, because I recently went on one of those, the 4D experience.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all the fun of the normal three dimensions plus a fourth one, which is usually just air jets.
Yeah, and they spray water at your face or something. I have one last suggestion.
Can I go back to your turbulence simulators quickly? What I think would also be a good idea, and now this is very much like, you're going to hear this and you're going to think, this is like the making the seat smaller thing. Maybe this is just not a good idea, but it is a good idea. One's if to make people more comfortable with turbulence, they actually have a turbulence simulator that is on all the time throughout the flight. So it's constantly shaking, so you never know when there's actual real turbulence.
That would really...
Genius.
That's a good idea, except that would negate my urinal idea.
Yeah, well, I'm quite happy for that to happen.
Well, my final thing, and this is a more serious suggestion,
okay,
right, is... You know, at the end of the flight, you've landed, okay?
Hopefully.
And the seatbelt light, what is it? It's on.
Oh, here we go. My favorite.
Okay.
Preach to the choir here.
What does everyone do?
Takes them off.
Unclip.
Like an idiot.
Stand up.
Yeah.
Stand around. The plane's not even finished taxiing yet, which I find a strange term. Anyway, so here's my suggestion. At the end of the flight, until the seatbelt light is off, that seatbelt will not open. And only when the pilot switches it off, it'll unclip.
Sorry, Jurassic Park.
What?
In Jurassic Park, they built things that couldn't open without kind of human putting a lot of force into it or breaking the system. And then dinosaurs happened. What if we had pterodactyls land on the wing and suddenly it was a case of, oh, wait, we've landed. What if they had any dinosaurs arrive?
I didn't consider the dinosaur factor.
Okay, everybody, out of your seats. This is an emergency. You go, damn, this new rule. And these chairs are so small. That's so uncomfortable.
I've been sitting on the toilet for 8 hours.
But you can then just like put the pterodactyl by the toilet seat bowl and flush and it'll be gone forever. I quite like that idea. I won't lie.
Yeah. You just keep people down.
It's really annoying because they all stand up and they look so smug.
Especially if they're on a window seat and you're still seated. Then you feel the pressure.
You guys are tall already. Don't you hate standing up when you aren't in the aisle and you stand up with the crooked head? It's so pointless.
I do wonder what you're gaining by getting up at that time, because you're not really gaining position, because you kind of... You can kind of still, I think, lay back, not get up, and then still kind of slot in where you would have ordinarily slotted in. It's not like people are getting up and actually starting walking down the aisle. They generally stay just where they were.
Yeah.
So you're not gaining space. If they're gaining the ability to stretch their legs, I can kind of understand that. Maybe it's been a long flight. Maybe they want to just kind of do that. But people do seem to be like doing that because they're in a hurry. And I don't see how they haven't yet learned that that's not...
I once
benefiting you.
Had them come over the PA and tell them to sit down and buckle in again.
I was there when that happened.
It was the best. It's like a cashier telling somebody with too many items that they aren't actually allowed in this queue. They have to do the walk of shame, squeezing their trolley past everyone.
It is an interesting one, because I wonder how many accidents happen at that particular time, because they don't allow you to put in your phones when you like in that area, and they also don't allow you to get up. But I wonder, like, how often have they been driving on the...
Yeah, it does seem odd that you actually can't get up.
Yeah.
Like, but the fact that
driving
you can't
on the tarmac and then suddenly like, oh, sorry, crashed into a tree.
Take off again. You should have been seated.
Sorry, guys, this is the wrong airport. Anyway.
What's that behind you? Look over there. The brother stream are following you.
It's a section everyone loves because it's a section that you can be in if you are... You know,
a human
on Twitter, and we happen to stumble upon you.
Yeah.
We pick a random person, not necessarily a celebrity, and we just follow them. We see what they're up to. So, Dil, I need from you a word, any word.
Tennis,
right, Andrew? I need a word from you.
Boom.
Tennis boom. All right, I'm gonna search for tennis boom on Twitter, and let's see if we have anyone. David Elred, his latest tweet was boom, bam, bop. Ba-da-bop, boom, pow!
I like this guy.
I really like this guy.
I think he's great.
He only works in sound noises.
Okay, I'm following him. Let's see who he is. All right, he is a manager at Rolls-Royce facility where we build ROVs and various other underwater equipment.
Wow.
He's a science lover, funk, soul, jazz, hip-hop fan, and he's a free thinker. That's right, no one's making him pay to think. No. He's a free thinker.
So was that bam, bop, boob, lop, lop part of his funk soul jazz loving? He was just doing a bit of scat.
I genuinely don't know what it is. It's definitely got a link to a picture. Let's see what this picture is.
Maybe worth mentioning at this stage that if you're on Twitter, you can follow us at Brother Streep. That's at Brother Streep. If you just type in Brother Streep, you'll still find us.
Okay, he's actually linking to a video about Germany, and it says this is how to play table tennis with your head. All right, so I'm just going to retweet that. So if you did what Dylan just said and followed us, you'll be able to see the little post. He also says...
what was his name again?
David Elred.
Elred.
Yeah.
Sounds made up.
David Wellred.
Ooh.
Oh, sorry, David Eldred. Eldred.
Oh. Eldred.
Eldred. Has anyone seen The Martian?
Yes.
No.
Okay, I can't really read that tweet. Don't want to spoil.
Is he doing spoiler tweets?
Well, he said the single most defining
He said something. Go look it up.
No, wait, I'll say this. He said the single most defining part of The Martian was the last few paragraphs of the book. The movie left them out. They'd make a perfect ending. I'm just saying maybe you want to read the book before you watch The Martian.
Too lazy.
Or afterwards.
Perfect ending.
At least I'd do it the other way around. Get blown away by the film because it's awesome. And then read the book and go, whoa, there's even more. Otherwise, you read the book, you go, this is going to be the best.
Yeah.
And watch the film. Oh, where are those last chapters? See, it's quite long already.
You wrote here, I'm not sure I made a good decision in the facial hair department. Now, do you think that is a fictitious department? Or do you think he's actually part of some sort of facial hair department?
This is somewhere I need to go. I've got a band of facial hair that just doesn't grow on the one side of my face. It's very annoying. That I've shaved pretty clean lately. I'm getting rid of it. Done with the beard.
Really?
Well, for now.
I've
changes week by week.
So for our Banter Claws video, I obviously had to white up my beard. But the sad thing is I got a feeling that in 5 years' time, my beard will genuinely look like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just going to enjoy having the color that it has right now because I'm not going to have it forever. I'll read one more tweet of this. Let's just go down here. He says... It's lunatic level crazy that at Volkswagen doesn't sell the Polo in the US. That and the Up are perfect for what US buyers are looking for lately. I mean...
It's interesting. I thought he was a Rolls-Royce man.
Yeah.
It's true. He's kind of giving a shout out to VW there. That's nice.
Can you describe his profile picture to us?
Okay, I will describe it. We have a man here that... He's quite a nice looking man. Gentle face.
Okay, handsome.
Friendly.
Friendly, he's friendly.
Age?
Age, he's about
42, more like 25.
He's done the whole like open collar, no tie, so he's a bit cash. I like that.
Smart cash.
Look at that. I mean, he looks
I would say he's in a majestic building. There's a marble pillar behind him, so he's clearly a man of immense class.
He is, look, that's a classy man. And he also, he just looks, he's got a slightly dopey face, not like incredibly dopey, but just like.
What is dopey? Describe his dopey face and what you mean by
he
that.
He has a large forehead.
I am aware that this man might one day listen to...
No, but we've
just
described
been retweeted
him.
By us. Are you happy calling him? Are you happy saying that he has a large forehead? Or
I'm happy saying he's large because it's factual. You call him dopey.
Yeah, that's an opinion.
Fair enough. Well, you know,
he looks very friendly, and we'd love to meet you. So tweet us, David Eldred,
and give us a Rolls Royce.
Yeah,
I'd love that. And also, apologies in advance if you don't think you look dopey. It's just possible you're having a sleepy day. Have we covered all bases there? Do you think he's going to be happy?
Look, I can't grow a full beard.
David's already beating
you. We all
you
have
there.
Our issues.
He's on the reviews we choose.
All right, let's talk James Bond. I went to go watch Spectre, which is the most recent James Bond film, last night. And I enjoyed it. So if you are looking at going to go see that film.
I am. Planning
haven't
on seeing
seen it
soon.
Yet, so.
Okay, well, go
keep
see
that
it.
In mind.
All right, well, that's the reviews I chose. Here we go, the end of the section. No, the thing is, I do find James Bond a particularly interesting franchise because it is interesting that they've had more than one James Bond.
Right.
So, and for us, it feels natural. You're like, oh, that makes sense. They've always been replacing the actor.
Yeah.
But imagine if you're watching Harry Potter and like halfway through the film franchise, they replaced Harry with like Joffrey from Game of Thrones. Do you not think that people would be a bit like, oh, hang on.
Especially that choice.
But I mean, that's almost what Daniel Craig is to Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like completely different look, completely different vibe, completely different hair color.
Yeah.
He's meant to be a spy, but he also drives the most conspicuous cars you could ever pick. Mm. Like if you kind of sneaking into a place not wanting to be known, you don't pitch up in like the flashiest suit, with the flashiest car ever.
It's true.
It doesn't really make much sense.
Dress down.
He's meant to be like
drive a VW.
He's meant to be like an assassin in sometimes. Like if you're an assassin, if you're sneaking around, you don't make an entrance, you make an escape.
Sometimes the best form of attack is defense.
Well, that's true about sport, but what's that got to do with James Bond?
I don't know. I thought it would work better than it did.
Do you want to hear my Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah.
Name's Bond.
Your Pierce Brosnan sounds a lot like Nathaniel. Well, they will have to replace James Bond after this is definitely Craig's last one. So,
has that been said, or was it you could tell by his acting?
No, it's kind of been said. And imagine if they went for Nathaniel. Imagine if that's you've just kind of.
He'd make a good Bond villain.
Prophetically, he would make.
He looks
good
quite
Bond
a lot
villain.
Like that.
Yeah, he'd be the best. Like Doctor Evil. He is Doctor Evil.
Yeah,
he would be very. Like non-intimidating.
So
you'd
be stroking a Burrivorce instead of a cat.
Is it a sketch show? No, it's a sketch no show.
Welcome to the sketch show. No sketch show. Sketch no show. Sorry, we didn't do it last week because we were in such a cool studio, but it had a view of a wall.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm sitting at Simon's table and I've got this beautiful view again.
Has anything changed since last time you looked out?
I was a bit worried earlier because it kind of had that dusky haze thing, and I'm not a very good sketch artist, so I thought, how am I going to do this? But it seems to have cleared up quite nicely. Not that what I've drawn so far has been any good. For anyone who's listening for the first time, I've been drawing the visual panorama of... are you coming over to see?
I've come
it's meant
over,
to be a surprise.
Well, I just want to see what's going on
of
here.
What I can see from outside Simon's window. So far, I mean, there's obviously the beautiful mountain, but I haven't gone anywhere near the mountain yet.
Yeah. You've drawn... I mean, I don't know if I'd be able to do better.
You would.
But I will say that you have seemed to have drawn the child's rendition of a tree.
Yes, I mentioned that. I've gone for the kind of lollipop tree. Only because the tree isn't as important as the mountain, which I'm saving for now.
Okay, all right. So that's not the mountain, that's the roof.
That's the roof over there.
Okay, that's interesting.
If you were seated where I'm seated, this is very good.
He's drawn the like weird cell phone tower that seems to exist outside our house, but seems to do like nothing. It's the weirdest thing. Like you've drawn it quite nicely there, but
thanks.
I still have terrible reception, and I'm beginning
even
to wonder.
I've drawn it quite nicely.
The tower.
You still get.
I want to be specific about the tower. I think you've put all your effort into that cell phone tower, which is nice.
It reminded me of Star Wars. Sorry, I just thought I think I've mentioned it every week. I may as well mention it this week.
I'm wondering whether that is a cell phone tower at all.
I'm drawing the blockhouse now.
Or whether someone's just, it's like a satellite dish for a different country.
You know, really sharp people will be able to triangulate our position from the description. You'll know exactly where Simon lives.
Yeah, that might be from
the
description.
I can see the blockhouse. I can see a tree. I'm not going to give you much more. We don't make this too easy for you. Okay, I think I've drawn about enough. That's a little bit of the mountain. Anyway, by about week 8, this should start resembling some piece of art. And plan on selling it for lots and lots of money.
Do you think so? Can I keep the money, considering it's technically my view drawn in my house?
Listen, this is as much your view as it was Andrew's hot day that he claimed to have his
Okay, so you're saying splitsies are like 60, 40, you 40, me 60.
The quiz.
Sorry, I was just thinking of something funny. So you said you 40, me 60. Is that what Andrew said to that guy at the urinal? You 40, me 60. It's just a fun way to tell people your age.
Very good.
Right, the quiz this week is Benedict Cumberbatch quiz.
Hooray! Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see how you've incorporated his name into the round.
Benedict Round Cumberbatch 1.
Yes, you don't disappoint.
These are general questions about Benedict Cumberbatch. So, question one is...
Simon, no Googling.
I won't, I promise. Can I just remind you, can you refer to me as...
Simon, the current winner and holder of the trophy.
Oh, my word.
Thank you.
Round one...
His modesty knows no bounds.
Question one, how did Benedict Cumberbatch announce his wedding? Simon.
Twitter
is incorrect. Yes, Dylan.
On the Graham Norton show.
No, I don't think so, no. No, incorrect.
Okay. Could have just said no.
I will say it was more traditional than most.
More traditional? Smoke signals.
How? That's
yeah.
Don't get much more traditional than smoke signals.
No, it's wrong.
Was
think
it?
England.
On top of Big Ben.
No. This is...
On
no,
top
guys,
of the wheel.
This is announcing his... You know, his wedding, his announcing his engagement. You know, how...
Announcing it to who? The world?
Yeah.
What tradition is there to announce... Facebook.
In, let's say, like 20 years ago, how would you have done it?
With pigeons.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought
you guys would get this immediately.
You were just told
With cannons? Did they fire cannons?
No, he invited people around and said,
no, it's just normal. It's just something
what do you
that
mean
a normal,
normal?
Person
I've
do.
Never been engaged.
And when I got engaged, I told people via text.
Yeah, what are you talking about traditional?
You know, if you want to, you know, let people know.
And by letter. He sent out letters, handwritten letters.
No. This is, how do you tell a runner? How do you tell a lot of people something very simply?
Loudspeaker. With a loudspeaker.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, did he stand up in Speaker's Corner?
A plane. Hired a plane and got them to take off the Maverick sign.
You go on the Graham Norton show.
None of you are getting this. The correct answer is in the classifieds of the Times.
Who's ever done that?
Lots of people do that. You announce your births, deaths, engagements.
That's
what it's for. Yeah. That's the only thing it's useful for now.
Is he like 80 years old? Is that why he's reading the classifieds? Does he read it every week and shed a tear for another friend that's died?
Okay,
This is the worst quiz I've ever heard.
Can me and Dylan both have a point for that one?
Question two, what happened when he visited South Africa?
He cried.
Maybe, but it might have been evolved.
He was robbed.
Oh, you're so close.
Ooh, he was hijacked.
Is the right answer.
Well, I feel like if you're robbed,
I'm gonna give you both a point for that.
Very different.
Because, how are they different?
The one is hijacking.
Yeah, they take something of yours. The other
is
which one are we talking about? They're the same.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you're gonna give an answer,
question
make it specific.
Question three.
Make it specific. Yeah.
What does Benedict Cumberbatch?
Smoke signals.
Question three. What does Benedict Cumberbatch think his name sounds like?
Bam, bam.
Yeah.
Eggs Benedict Cumberbatch.
He thinks it sounds like cucumber Bach.
No, this is slightly more obscure. This is a rather
Pope Benedict the Cumberland sausage.
No, it's not like a pun or something that actually sounds like his name. It's an onomatopoeic thing that you might experience in a bathroom situation.
Cumberbatch.
I'm going to give you the answer.
Pumpkin patch.
He thinks it sounds like a fart in the bath.
Okay.
Fart in the bath.
Apparently, that's from the horse's mouth. Right, we're moving on to round two, which is filming good. Which of these movies or TV shows has Benedict Cumberbatch not acted in?
Okay.
I'm going to give you the list. There's four. A Glass of Red.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Tipping the Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
Hills Like White Elephants.
Mm-hmm.
Dunkirk.
Bam! A Glass of Red. He wasn't in that.
Simon's going to say A Glass of Red.
Am I allowed to say the same?
You are allowed to say the same.
I'm saying the same.
You are correct.
Yep. Never I know my Benedict it. Films.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't guess that. Definitely didn't guess that. I mean, I've seen the other ones. They're great.
Well,
I'd
done.
Give them like 7.2 on IMDb.
Wow. Okay, what would you give a glass of red?
It doesn't exist, though.
Tell you when's a bad time to have a glass of red. The heat of the day on the beach. Man, learning lessons.
Right, round three is finish the...
sandwich.
Quote. Thank you, Simon. Here's the quote that he said. I wasn't born into land or titles or new money or...
poverty.
Yeah, he's covered all his bases. Yeah. Privilege?
No.
The ocean. Water birth. The ultimate water birth.
Surprising, but you're kind of close to the answer there.
Navy.
No, I don't think you're going to get this. It's
Your clue is throwing us off.
It's an oil rig.
He wasn't born into that, or an oil rig.
Yeah. I do think if you're going to give Dylan a point for robbery being the same as hijacking,
which it is,
you can give Ocean the same for oil rig because it is.
Right. Quote two.
You often when you get those piracy warnings on DVDs, it's like, do not watch this in the ocean.
Oh, yeah. So, on an oil rig. No.
You wouldn't steal an oil rig.
Not big enough pockets.
Right, quote two. Pull the hair on my head the wrong way, and I would be on my knees begging for mercy. I have...
I've got a point
A very low pain threshold.
Sort of, but not right.
I have...
I have sensitive skin.
I'm going to give Dylan the... I'm going to give Dylan the point
dandruff.
Because the quote is, I have very sensitive follicles.
Whoop, whoop.
Right, and the final quote is... I never was obsessive about anything I watched when I was a kid, except maybe...
Sherlock Holmes.
Is incorrect.
What about that Danger Mouse or whatever that person's called?
No, similar era, I guess.
What's that program?
Morph.
Damn it.
No.
Power Rangers.
No. Not, you haven't got one of them. There's a whole list.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No, I'm going to give one of you will guess some popular show.
And The Simpsons.
No.
And Friends.
No.
When he was young.
So and MacGyver.
You got to. Yeah.
Magic
yeah,
the A-Team.
I'm going to give Dylan the point because he got there first. The A-Team, Airwolf, Knight Rider, and Baywatch.
Okay.
So
I said Knight Rider. So I just pronounced it MacGyver.
Okay, and moving on to the final round, round four, distant relatives, which is something relating to the subject. In which case, it's Sherlock Holmes. We're going to be talking about Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
And this is Sherlock Holmes in general.
Great.
Right.
I've read them all.
Question one. How old is the first Sherlock Holmes film, which is called Sherlock Holmes Baffled?
42 years.
Is incorrect.
It is actually only 31 years old.
Well, I'm going to have to give it to the person who was closest.
Oh, come on.
Which was Dylan.
Yes.
Dylan raises an interesting point there.
It's 115 objection. Years old. 1900.
That's very funny.
Right. Question two. Question two.
Yeah.
Holmes never says, elementary, my dear Watson. Instead, he says...
That's elementary.
No, is incorrect.
He says, elementary, my dear friend.
No, no.
I've got another one.
No,
he goes, that would be elemental to think about that person.
Oh,
no.
I'll be back.
We're going to give it to the one who was closest. Simon.
Nope, none of you get it. He just says elementary.
Okay.
So, moving on. Question three.
You can give that to me.
Nope. Why did Sir Arthur Conan Doyle want to kill off Sherlock within 2 years?
He couldn't stand the pressure of writing more novels.
It's a good answer, but it's incorrect.
It was like that Flappy Bird guy. He got too much money from it, and he went, listen, I don't want this life anymore.
No.
I'm shutting it down. And on eBay soon, it was like books that had Conan Doyle stuff.
Stop
he was
there.
Selling for
stop
way more.
No.
Wasn't he finding it too difficult to come up with the crimes and the deductions and all that kind of stuff?
No. No.
Is it something close to that, though?
No.
Does it mention one word that's similar?
No.
Damn it. I was going to say he was giving ideas to villains.
Oh, no.
And people copycatting.
Simpler.
Is it because he ran out of ideas?
Similar, but no.
He became blind and he couldn't actually write.
No. Simpler, even simpler.
He died.
No.
It's very simple.
He wanted to focus on Watson more than Holmes.
No. No, the correct answer Any last guesses?
What was the question?
It was, why did Sir Arthur Conan Doyle want to kill off Sherlock within 2 years?
He doesn't like him. He doesn't like the character. He hates him.
I'm going to have to give you the answer. I'm going to have to give you that. But it was actually just out of boredom.
Yeah.
So he says, well, it takes my mind from other things.
Okay.
So that's in a sense, that is not liking him.
I understand that you want Dylan to win the quiz.
Would I win without that point?
Yeah, you would.
At the moment,
can I not have that point
would.
Then? Because that's the worst judging I've ever had.
You snubbed me once. Right. Okay.
Do you know what? I would have taken this attitude from him. I would remove 5 points. Negative points now.
That's good sportsmanship.
The final question, which I'm just deciding.
There's another question?
Yeah, I'm just deciding, is worth 5 points now.
Oh, this is
which
sad.
Which brings Simon back into the game.
This is quite sad.
Okay, roughly, how old was Sherlock in the books? And I'm going to give it to the closest answer.
44.
Oh, which way do you go?
45.
Dylan wins!
Yay! I won a quiz. I won the quiz. I'm the best. Simon's the worst. I'm the very, very best.
For the audience,
I would like to say that you're marching
up and down around the land.
For the audience at home,
fanfare.
For the audience at home, you might want to know that Dylan is actually crying in the corner.
Yeah,
he's by no means running around my house.
Did I win
that
one?
Trumpet.
The correct answer was 60 years. So you were both way off.
Wow.
But well done to Dylan for winning the quiz.
Yeah,
with 12-4, an absolute runaway victory.
Brilliant. Well, it's been a fun week.
I wouldn't say runaway.
It's all about episode 4, it seems.
Episode 4 is the best episode.
They're only getting better.
They are. I think people will... This will be the one that changes it. This will be the one that people go like, I can't miss an episode now because... Yeah.
I must hear more about toilets.
A slow series, you know? Just give it 4 episodes. It really picks up.
Yeah, it's like Breaking Bad. give it 5 seasons. It really gets good in the last one. I really do feel like I've been sold a lie because, okay, I must say, I'm only in season... At the end of season 3 of Breaking Bad.
Oh, just wait till 4.
Wait for the next one. Push through season 1. Cool. Season 2. Push through season 2.
Yeah.
Push through season 4. Push through the finale of Breaking Bad and then just pretend you enjoyed the series like everyone else.
Yeah.
I am enjoying it.
When did they win all the Emmys and stuff?
It couldn't
have been for the first 7 seasons.
I don't know. Look, it's not a bad show and I'm enjoying it now in season, like near the end of season 3, but definitely it's not exactly like this groundbreak. It's just no Lost.
Have you watched the episode entitled The Fly?
Yes, I have seen that one.
That I wish I could take back in my life.
Did not enjoy it?
Oh,
you were expecting Jeff Goldblum though. That's pretty wild.
Anything with a bit of Jeff Goldblum in it.
That'd be great if just all of a sudden they just randomly were like, cool, we're going to put him inside a machine and this fly is going to get stuck with him.
So strange.
It becomes a little sci-fi for an episode.
Sci-fly. I won the quiz.
Thanks for listening,
everyone. I won the quiz.